Hello, members, and welcome to this week's session of the club. Let's go straight to the Trello board and get stuck into it. I'll share my screen. And here we are on a Trello board going to today's live session. And what we're talking about today is patient reactivation. And then I've got a daily focus to deliver to you for the coming week that has everything about the, or not everything about, has an element of the patient reactivation topic. Now I'll go into my PowerPoint presentation and start at the start. So inactive patients, who are they? Where are they? And how are we going to bring them back? Just going to make sure that everybody is here. Got everything organized? Yes. Excellent. So the inactive patients, first of all, why even look at this group of patients? If they've chosen to go somewhere else, does it really matter? Well, here are some figures that I discovered some years back. The average practice has a 60 to 70% chance of gaining treatment acceptance from an existing patient, but only a 20% chance of getting that same commitment from a new prospect. So quite often we think all the gold in the new patients coming through, and I was having a discussion with John Burford, a journalist who does some writings for the magazine Bite magazine, and we're talking about this very thing, that the attraction, the appeal of the new patient coming in, where's the attraction for the existing patient that you've had for a period of time? So do think about that, that once a patient's been a member of your clinic, had a relationship with you for a period of time, they've got more like no trust with you than they do to someone new. And therefore, your authority is larger in their brain. And you've got a 60 to 70% success rate when you are treatment presenting to those patients, as opposed to just 20% of a new prospect, somebody new who doesn't yet trust you. So that is one very big reason why you've got to try to reactivate your inactive patients. The second figure that I discovered was the average practice loses between 10 and 15% of your patients every year. That could be through death. They've moved out of the area, they've decided to go somewhere else. But 10 to 15% of the patient base, certainly that means you don't lose 10% of your patient base to death every year. So it is overwhelmingly other reasons why they leave. So that's a large attrition rate. The third figure that I discovered was it is considered that 20% of the average practice patient base is inactive. And so there's a group of patients that are sitting there in your patient base, you've done the patient numbers, you think, oh, fantastic, the number of patients coming into the practice and going up all the time. However, how many of them are actually returning for treatment? Throughout this mini little presentation, I am going to be calling back onto the categories of patients. And just remember the three categories that I've identified: transient, loyal, and perpetual. And transient, they're represented here by a little person because they represent financially the lowest impact on your turnover. The transient patients, just as a reminder, are your emergency-only patients. They rarely complete advised treatment, even if you are looking in their mouth while you're looking after one tooth and you said, I can see a lot of decay somewhere else, you still won't see them come back again. They don't generally get any recalls. They're not particularly loyal, so they will come to you for the checkup, sorry, for the toothache. If they get another toothache 6 months down the track, they'll call you, but if you can't see them, no skin off their nose, they'll just call the next practice on the list. They are certainly at a higher risk of broken appointment times. So they don't have a relationship with you where they want to make sure that they maintain this good relationship. And so it's no skin off their nose again if they just miss an appointment time. The second group are the loyal. So they certainly come to you for all of their emergencies, but that's the difference. They'll only ever come to you. If you can't see them at a time and date that they want and you offer an alternative, they'll wait for the alternative. They won't want to go anywhere else. They do tend to complete all the advised conservative treatment. So if you say, I can see there's other decay there, come back for a checkup, they'll do that. If you say through that checkup, you need some decay remedied, they will do that. If you say you need a smile makeover, they may not do that. If you say you need an implant to replace that missing tooth, they may not do that. But they will only ever come to you. They've got a lower risk of broken appointment times. The third group are the perpetuals. They're the ones that come every 6 to 12 months for their recalls, no questions asked. They will certainly only ever come to you for emergencies. They do tend to complete all the advised treatment. They've got complete faith in you. And they are a very low risk of broken appointment time. So when I talk about the transient, loyals, and perpetual patients, these are the categories I'm talking about. So it lends itself to this slide. What is an active patient? And the active patients in your book are twofold in my book. One, they are the loyal and perpetual patients. You wouldn't consider, because a patient has attended your clinic over the last few months, doesn't make them an active patient. What makes them an active patient is if they're returning. And so it is your loyals and perpetuals that are your active patients. And then in addition to that, a further criteria is, have they attended your practice in the last 18 months? So the loyal and so the active patients are the ones who fall into the category of loyal and perpetual and have been to you in the past 18 months. So the loyal and perpetual bit, that's really just my input there. The 18 month, I researched this with all of the dental consultants in America and Australia, and 18 months it seems to be an acceptable figure to capture the patients within to say that they're considered active. And so what I would do is you can generally tell a transient patient when they come in. On the new patient form where you've said, when was your last dental visit? It's normally years ago or can't remember. And they've come in and they've got a toothache or a broken tooth, and just generally looking at their mouth, you can see there's lots of other stuff going on. I would tend to start flagging those patients as transient straight away. If they start coming back on a regular basis, you can swap that over. But if you label them transient or whatever your particular dental software allows for, that means you can generate lists, taking out the transients, and then what you're left with, you can generate a list who has not been here for the past 18 months and take out the transients. And then you're left with a more effective list to work with coming slides, as you'll see, with more activities coming up. And let's look further into an active patient. So they haven't been with you for 18 months. I think I should have, that's not something, I haven't done my heading properly. So patients that haven't attended your practice for 18 months, maybe one of the reasons why they are inactive is they've relocated to another practice. And you can tell that by receiving a request of records from another practice. They may have moved out of the area. They may have left a complaint. Some people do leave complaints in such a big, bold way, they can, even if they feel like they were in the wrong at the end of the day, they feel they can't come back. Transient patients, as I state, transient patients. So how do we find, let me just double check something. Oh yeah, that was what is an inactive patient? I do apologize. So what's an active patient? Loyal and perpetuals who have attended your clinic in the past 18 months. And what is an inactive patient is those who haven't attended your practice for 18 months, or they have relocated to another practice, they've moved out of the area, left a complaint after a complaint, or they've been a transient patient that you've identified. So how do you actually find these inactive patients? And I suggest there should be some way of searching for them within your dental software. So search within it. If you don't know how to do that, just ring your software company and ask for directions on how to do it or get them to do it for you. But you should be able to say everyone that isn't in the client base that hasn't been here for the past 18 months. But I do want you to consider, before you start trying to appeal to your inactive patients and get them back in through your doors, I want you to consider, do you want all of your inactive list back? Certainly target the loyals and perpetuals. If you can, easily remove the transients. And then have a think about how are you going to measure the success of whatever method you choose of trying to attract these patients back into play again. Tracking your success will tell you whether, number one, is it a worthwhile exercise to spend time and money on? Number two, if we try to appeal to them via an SMS and another group via a letter, for example, you might go, for the A's, let's send them an SMS to try to get them to come back in again. Then the B's, we're going to send them a physical letter. The C's, we're going to call them on the telephone. The D's, we're going to email, even though I don't think email would be effective with this particular thing, considering email open rates are around 13%. And then you're going to track what kind of response you get from each different way of contacting your inactive patient base. When you start to monitor the success, you can start to pick up on whether it's a worthy exercise and which way to roll it out is going to be most effective. The fourth thing I want you to consider is make sure you get your systems and team patient ready. There is no use in going to all of the time and the effort of getting your inactive patient list, developing a campaign, and spending money on rolling out that campaign if you are bringing back a patient base that was unhappy with you enough to start off with, and they come back and nothing's changed. So definitely one of the biggest steps before you go down this path is to identify how your practice can improve the patient experience. So when you do appeal to them to come back in again, one, you can make the assurance things have improved, which is sometimes a very strong incentive for some patients to come back. And number two, it allows that patient a proper second chance, or allows you that second chance of keeping a patient back into your practice again. So really do make sure that you've trained up your team and that your systems, if any of them were not working well for your beautiful patient base, that you've modified those systems so when they come back in, they're having a better patient experience. In order to do that, we have to really understand why patients leave in the first place. What are we supposed to improve? And here's a whole stream of reasons why patients can leave. And this list is a list that you can use. Use it in a brainstorming session with your team of, are any of these relevant to us? Is there anything that we can do and improve upon? So when we do appeal to these patients to come back in again, when they do, they're seeing differences in these areas. So some of them will be able to shift and change and some of them we won't. Let's have a look at them one by one. Number one, the reason why patients may leave is that they have been unhappy with the service. That might be the whole team, it might be the practitioner, it might be a particular team member, it might be the appearance of the practice, the lack of technology or the policies that didn't quite work for them. And what I'm talking about in terms of that, for example, they may have, one of your policies may be to charge people who cancel late, or a policy might be to charge patients a deposit fee to book a Saturday appointment time. That's a legitimate reason why some patients would stop coming to you. It's highly likely, though, they're the patients you want to keep. So make sure you're changing policies that may have repelled your favorite patients, your ideal patients, from coming in. Revert them back to something that they would like. Save those policies just for the patients that they're designed for, not a sweeping policy. So if they're unhappy with the service, then the brainstorming session is, how can we as a team, or how can we encourage that practitioner, or how can we improve the appearance of the place? How can we increase in technology? How can we improve our policies so they're better aligned with the wants and needs of our ideal patient base? How can we identify all the areas that we can improve in those areas and then get the training and guidance that we need to be able to improve? And one of the other reasons why people leave is they move away from the area. If people absolutely love coming to you, they will travel suburbs. However, if you are delivering a standard acceptable service, then when they move out of the area, they can find another, easily find another practice that also provides a standard reasonable service. One of the reasons why delivering a great customer service experience as opposed to just standard is you want to be able to be worth the trip. So if you are losing people who are moving out of the area, just be intrigued about where they're moving to. If it's just a couple of suburbs away, maybe you can put bells and whistles on the service that you're currently exhibiting to your patients and start to keep those people back again. Change in fees. So if you've been a preferred provider for a period of time and then you've ducked out of that arrangement and the fees have risen substantially, you can understand why patients will leave. There will be some of them that stay because they love it. There will be some of them that stay, or I should say there's some of them that say that love the practitioner so much, they've got so much trust they can't face seeing somebody else. But there are some people that will stay and pay the higher fees if the service warrants it. If the service is over and above, then I'll pay over and above. Maybe there was a new dentist or new practitioner as part of the team that they didn't hang around for. It's interesting when a patient has a changeover of ownership of the practice they're going to, sometimes that is enough reason for them to go, I'm going to try somewhere else. Sometimes they just want to, as I say, try somewhere else. They're going to see someone new anyway. Why don't they see someone new who's a little bit more local? If that's the reason why you possibly lost some patients and they became inactive, that particular reason is a wonderful opportunity a few months down the track or a couple of years down the track to take a video of your new practitioner. Maybe talk the team members talking about the wonderful experiences that patients are having. Send it out to those patients or write it up in a newsletter and send it out to everybody via mail. These patients may have left just to be, to see somebody new closer to home, but maybe they're not happy there. Maybe they actually always did find it easier to park at your place or easier to catch public transport, or they really did like the nurse and the receptionist, and they just need that reassurance that the new practitioner themselves is A-OK, and then they'll come straight back. The health fund, if sometimes a patient is a regular patient, they leave because they say, I'm a Bupa member, so I might as well be going to a Bupa practitioner. Support them in that transition. Make it easy for them to get their records and everything else, because there is every chance they'll go to the new practitioner, and because you have now increased the standard of care that you deliver, the level of service that you deliver, that they say, sure, I've got better refunds going to this new guy, but I just don't get the equivalent experience, and that's important to me. And so I'm going to return back to my old dentist. Better fees somewhere else. We've spoken about that, but with the change of fees. So once we are finding out that we can get our services cheaper somewhere else, we quite often try that. That's cheaper bread, that's cheaper milk, that's cheaper vegetables. But then when you get them home, the vegetables rot more quickly. And you're like, I think I was better off paying a little bit more and getting the better quality. And you want to be able to do that. You want to be able to be delivering a service in such a way that it is the patients leave thinking it's worth the money. Convenience is a reason why people will move dental practices, become inactive in one practice and start becoming active in another. It's just more convenient. It's going to get my little pointer so it's a little bit easier for you to see where I'm going. So convenience is a big one, especially nowadays. Roads seem to be getting busier all the time, and the urban sprawl is going further out, so maybe there's a bit more of a trek to you. I know that there's been one practice I've worked with in the past that had to move location because parking restrictions changed in where their patients normally parked, and they'd have patients calling them saying, I'm circling, I can't find any parks longer than half an hour. I'm here, don't charge me a fee for being late or failing my appointment time. I'm going to turn around and go home. There are no parks here. And he had to change locations just so he could maintain convenience for his patient base. But that's a strong reason why some people could leave if that's a challenge for you. Maybe they've been recommended to another practice by a trusted friend. And so I really trust this person. They've been so impressed with the service of this other place. I'm going to go along and try that one. Never make it difficult for patients to leave your practice. The harder you make it for them to leave the practice, the harder you're making it for them to return. So you say, oh, absolutely, I understand, that's no dramas. I can organise your records, no problems whatsoever. If we can ever help you in the future, just give us a hoy. We're always here for you. That should be the attitude if people leave. So when they've been recommended by somebody else, by a friend, they go there and they think, I still like my one better, because remember, we put the bells and whistles on the customer service. I'm liking my one. Things have shifted and changed and I'm excited to go back. Wooed by a competitor. So this is where you've got a lot of Facebook advertising and online advertising, and they've got special deals here, there and everywhere. Again, just make sure that your service is such that they are out, your patients are out there looking at all the advertising and promotional messages of all of your competition, or I hate that term competition, all of your colleagues. However, they're so loving where they are, they wouldn't think of changing. Inflexible booking hours. There are some people that are getting less and less inclined about eating into their working time for personal reasons. And so they definitely need the evening appointment times, the after school appointment times, the Saturday appointment times in order for them to be able to come in. And it's kind of a double-edged sword. You've got to offer the outside of normal working hours times, but they get booked up so quickly. So you also need to be able to put enough aside. So if those patients, your precious patients, have an emergency, you can still get them in. You want to always be looking after your active patient base so they remain active. Your practice failed to deliver on promises. So your website sprouts, we're the friendliest practice of all time. All of your Facebook posts and Instagram posts, look how wonderful and friendly you are. When the patient rings the practice, then the receptionist is beautiful and friendly. And then they go through to the surgery and they get a cranky dentist that's very difficult to crack a smile with. So make sure that you are providing a consistent experience to what you're advertising and what you're putting out there. This one's especially true for new patients. You promise this, you raise my expectations to here, and then I turn up and it just wasn't there. So I've got my story that many of you may have heard already before, but I walked into a new practice that had just been newly built, and I was so impressed. The external exterior was beautiful. And I won't make this story a long version. And then I walk in and it's like a cafe feel inside. Rustic floorboards, coffee tables, iPad station, state-of-the-art coffee machine. It was a commercial-sized coffee machine. Everything was so beautiful. My expectations raised, my enthusiasm raised. And then I was completely ignored by the two receptionists at the front desk, neither of whom were on the phone and neither of them had a patient in front of them. They just ignored me for a good 15 seconds, 10 to 15 seconds. But that 10 to 15 seconds was all it took for my enthusiasm to start to plummet down, and I became disappointed. So if your environment, your promotions, the way you appear to the outside world raises people's expectations, you've got to make sure the practice as a whole is meeting those expectations. Otherwise, you've dashed them and you may have dashed your chance to keep that patient. Your staff did not treat them properly. Your staff are your business. It's just extraordinarily important to hire great people with great attitudes. They don't have to have all the experience in the world, but they need to be great people with great attitudes, trainable. They want to be better. They want to become masters at what they do. They love treating patients with tender, loving care and getting great results for the business and helping each other in the delivery of what you do. And then train. Have continual improvement as part of your core culture for your whole team, so you can, as a practice, continually improve. Your practice will not, it is impossible for your practice to consistently improve in the delivery of service if you don't train your team members in getting better at what they do. Impossible. So devote the time and energy and funds towards it. It'll be worth it. your patients no longer trust you. Maybe there's been one too many fillings that fell away, or one too many fillings that turned into toothaches, then root canal. And if it's not properly explained to the patient what's going on, they just start to, it breaks down the trust. Maybe you've had a new receptionist on that keeps getting the appointment times wrong. It's a breakdown of trust. So make sure you are addressing any issues that may challenge the trusting relationship that you have with patients. If it's a new patient, maybe you failed to build effective rapport, and as I say, failed to meet expectations. You want a new patient to come in and feel welcome straight away. You want that new patient to be sitting there in the waiting room and think, look at this place. How's the reception the receptionist gave me? I'm in the right place. Of course, you want that to extend through to the surgery as well. So they leave the practice going, wow, I've found the practice for me. Trying to use my keyboard to change the slide, but it's not wanting. Oh, there we go. We get there in the end. Oh, we went backwards. Oh, I think I'll do it manually. So some ideas on reactivation of your inactive patients. You might want to provide an incentive. Now consider these might be being sent out by an SMS with a link to a landing page or a website page. It might be emails, which again, I don't believe email would be effective. Open rates for emails is around 13%. So most of your patients won't even see an email unless they're expecting it. You can SMS them and say, look in your email inbox, we've sent something important to you. But a blind email, one that they're not expecting, more than likely won't be opened. So you might want to, it might be a telephone call or it might be a letter. Letters are great. Physical still leaves a stronger impression on our brain than SMS messages, emails. If with a phone call, that's a strong impression. As long as you're getting to speak to them, if you just leave a message, not a strong impression. So you might want to provide an incentive for them to come back. For example, you know, we've got a special deal to reactivate your oral care. Come in for this special offer. Whenever you're doing a special offer for new patients or your inactive patients to come back in again, always make sure you are providing some kind of special offer to your regular clients. It's a space that many industries have moved into. That, for example, you know, Foxtel or Telstra or whatever, that they offer all the special deals to try to get the new business, but they never offer the existing clients a special deal. So make sure you're always looking after everybody. Maybe one of the messages that you send out via your SMS, letter, whatever, is we've got a new team. So if make the transition of ownership a really exciting thing, that there's an opportunity for better. So we've got a brand new team and we're so committed to looking after you. These are the things that we're doing. You know, we're giving you noiseless headphones while you're lying back getting the treatment done. We've put a screen on the ceiling so you can be distracted away from getting the treatment done. We've abolished the fee for booking in on a Saturday, the deposit fee for booking in on a Saturday. We've got this new team, new way of doing things. Come on in. If it's new owners of the practice, another wonderful thing to do is have an open day. I've assisted many practices to have open days, and I'm always impressed with how popular they are. How many people actually do show up? You could have your open day on a weekend, make it a little bit kid friendly if you are seeing families. You know, there was one practice that organized for the hygienist to dress up as the tooth fairy, just very cute stuff, and have some nibbles for them. Information, have a presentation, so there's information around, you know, what's going on currently with dental oral care and helping them understand why maintaining a good oral health is a good thing for them. You could have the local minister of parliament come out and cut a ribbon and open up for the new owners as well. You can do all sorts of things to make that open day big, and then of course invite the local paper to come out, take photos and do an article on it. That's a wonderful way. You want to really promote yourself to the local community, for whom it is terribly convenient for them to come and see you. New systems, as I say, you know, we've abolished one of our systems that was complained about. You spoke, we listened. Now we, you know, we used to run late all the time, but now we run late. Now we run on time all the time. So new systems can sometimes be the reason people left, and the minute they say, I loved everything else about that practice, I just didn't like that system of having to pay a deposit before I come in. And the minute they hear that that's no longer there, or the minute they hear, gosh, they don't run late anymore, I'm back because I loved everything about that practice and it was convenient. Compelling dental clinical reasons. So this is a good idea as well, that if they've been a regular attender in the past, so they've been a loyal or perpetual patient, especially for the perpetuals, for that whole group, just not the transients, because they don't tend to get treatment done on things that aren't giving them immediate concern. But give them all the clinical reasons why it's a good idea to return. So come back because we've got this wonderful new technique of, you know, we've got a hygienist now to do all the mouth cleanings and so to make sure that you've got fresh breath. And, you know, having fresh breath is a social concern for many people. They want to make sure that they've got that under control. Maybe there is a link between diabetes and oral condition that you can promote that helps people go, gosh, I'm not usually a regular attender. They are still my practice, but I haven't been to them for years. But I have been diagnosed with diabetes over the past few years. I think it's a good idea that I do go back for a checkup. So compelling dental and clinical reasons is a good idea. Maybe you've got new services, and so you could start doing implants but not make a song and dance about it. You could start doing Invisalign but not do a song and dance about it. Do a song and dance about it. Promote it to your broader community. I've been in a practice and the dentist was so distressed when they found out that one of their regular patients, they turned up for their recall appointment time and they said, how's everything been since your last appointment time with us? Oh, it's been good. I went and got some whitening down the road because I know you guys don't do it. He said, we do it. Why did you think we didn't do it? I didn't see any advertising about that. I didn't see any posters about that. And so if you've got new services, promote them. Even your existing services, promote them. Make sure your patients don't go somewhere else but return to you just because they wanted a service that they think you didn't do. Direct your inactive patients to your website, Google reviews, social media pages, if they're all looking fantastic. That can re-inspire them to return to you. That's where you can deliver a huge amount of information that you can't contain in an SMS, a phone call, or a letter. If you've got some great Google reviews, send that link through to them. Gosh, they were pretty good and everyone else seems to be on board with them, because social proofing is one of the reasons why we do what we do, why we make the buying decisions that we do. Social proofing is like everybody else drinks Coke over Pepsi. I'm going to drink Coke over Pepsi. Everybody else is on Facebook. I should get on Facebook. And so if they're seeing a whole bunch of positive Google reviews, that can lend itself beautifully to social proofing. Direct them to the website, especially if you've redone your website. Make your website interactive in some way. Take this quiz if you know much about oral hygiene. So, you know, it's simple quiz. How often should you floss? How long should you brush for? How often should you brush? Those sort of things. Make your site a little bit interactive to hold them on your site a little bit more. And the Facebook page. Remember how lovely we are? Take photos of the team, little profiles of the team. Talk about happy patients, another happy patient. We so love seeing our patients when they return over and again. Remember, you can't do testimonials, but you can talk about conversations that you've had with patients. And also a really fantastic idea for reactivation is asking them why they left. Send them out a very simple survey. We miss you. Start off by saying that. We miss you. And we don't want to lose any more patients like you. We would be so appreciative if you could take the time to answer three questions. What made you leave the practice? What were elements that you loved about the practice? What would it take to get you back here again? So just survey them. I suggest emailing the survey out because that's the most elegant process for them to respond quickly. Written surveys that they have to mail back, things like that, they just won't do it. So email them out, but premise that email with an SMS message saying, we've just emailed you, we'd be so appreciative if you could have a read of that email. And if you email out using what they call a CRM, a customer relationship management tool, such as SurveyMonkey or MailChimp, Infusionsoft, then you can actually check open rates. And that's important information for you to know. If we email our patients, what is the open rate? So then that can help direct you on how you utilize email within your practice moving forward. An example letter, I think a letter going out to patients would be a very good thing. It leaves a strong impact on the brain and you can add information. You can also add links to a website page or Google reviews. So it lends itself to that as well. But for example, we have enjoyed having you as a patient at our dental practice over the past years, assisting wonderful people such as yourself with their oral health issues gives us great satisfaction, and we hope you have gained value from our services too. Looking through our schedule, I've noticed that it's been a little while since your last visit. I thought you may appreciate our Get Back on Track offer. Get Back on Track includes a full examination, bite wing x-rays, and a scar and cleaning for just $180. This is a saving of $100. I look forward to hearing from you, and I hope you can take advantage of our offer and get back on track. An alternative could be, I will give you a call over coming days in case you would like to take advantage of our offer of Get Back on Track. Warm regards, Julie, reception. If I was going to use this, if you had a list of 500 people or 100 people or 50 people that you were going to send this letter to, I think the most effective way of doing it would be to send a letter to a certain number, 20 people at a time or 10 people at a time, and then space out these telephone calls in your diary as a receptionist. So you're making, you know, three, four, five phone calls a day until you get through them all. So it's not an overwhelming list for you to do. But sometimes the letter and then the phone call is more effective than just the letter alone. Also, add in easy ways for people to rebook with you. The booking link, if you're part of Health Engine or you've got a booking link on your website, direct them through that. Many people address their emails and things like that late at night when you're not open, and allowing them an easy path to make that appointment time while it's all fresh in their mind and they're completely engaged. Yeah, I really should. I have been diagnosed with diabetes. I should get in for a checkup. I'm just going to do it now. I'll just click in now and do it right now. Make it as easy as possible for them to book in. We also want to have a look at, now that you've got all these patients back in again, look at doing what you can to prevent your patients from becoming inactive. There are always going to be a portion of them that do. But if you start to really address that list of the reasons why people leave the practice and address these areas as well as you possibly can and be on a constant journey of continuing to refine these areas and address them going forward, then you are going to be closing the gap substantially. Always remember to provide great service. Don't just provide usual standard service. Aim higher. I want to provide great service at this practice. Also, survey your happy patients. Find out why your active patients keep on coming to you and are loyal to you. Find out what they love. Make sure you never remove that element and then put bells and whistles on that one as well. Promote those elements in your promotional material, in your marketing, because if they're making a group of your happy patients happy, other patients will also find that an appealing reason to convert over to your practice. Adopt the services of a mystery shopper. We've spoken about mystery shoppers in the past. I will add the mystery shopper article that I wrote for a magazine, for the Australasian Dental Practice magazine, years ago now, I think it was, but also I developed a mystery shopper questionnaire. It's a simple, straightforward questionnaire, and you just get a friend or a family member, somebody to come through as a mystery shopper. They can help you identify very easily areas to improve in your practice. Stay in the minds of your patients, your active patients, by continuing to communicate. So your perpetuals have all the communication that they need. They're there every 6 months. They've got the confirmation contacts, and whenever they've got an issue between times, they're there in front of you. However, the transients won't care so much, but the loyals, they're the ones that need that continual communication. They need to be reminded about the reasons to maintain oral health through the recall system. They need to be reminded, remember there's a link between your general health and your oral health. So if you've been diagnosed with anything, it's a good idea to come on in. COVID situation, a classic reason to reach out and communicate with your existing patients. And so have a regular email that goes out as a newsletter if you like. Again, SMS them beforehand. We've just sent you through our newsletter. There's some important information in there for you or interesting information in there for you. Continue trying to appeal to your patients to like your Facebook page so that you are in their brain spasmodically throughout their time between appointment times. Maybe commit to sending out a physical newsletter. Receiving mail now that's not a bill is a wonderful thing. A lot of people don't send mail, enjoyable mail anymore. And if it's just a nice, simple two-pager, two-sider, four-page, folded in half, interesting information for your clients, maybe include something, if you're a family practice, include a little puzzle page there for the kids. They can do a word jumble or a maze or a colouring in. Colour this in, send it in, we'll pop it up on the wall, make it a lovely newsletter, and just send that out twice a year, four times a year to your active patient base. So continue communicating with them. Also, systematize management. So have some sort of process of identifying your inactive patients and trying to appeal to them to come back more swiftly than leaving it a number of years in between. So systematize your management of this sort of area of your business. Get that off, stop the share. I'm going to go back to our Trello board. So I hope you found that presentation helpful. There is a lot of value in doing what you can to maintain your patient base inside your walls. It's usually much more effective, cheaper as well, than trying to constantly advertise for new business coming through. You'll always need new patients, that's for sure, because you'll always lose some patients for reasons that you can't control. However, doing what you can to make sure that you are nurturing relationships with your existing loyal and perpetual patients will serve you very well long-term for long-term viability. I just want to leave you with a daily focus. The daily focus is, I'm going to share my screen, show you what I'm going to be sending out to y'all. Close a couple of things off I didn't need open. Here we go. So the daily focus for this coming week is scheduling a brainstorming session with your team. I'm a huge fan of brainstorming sessions, and here's why. Brainstorming sessions are a great way of generating fresh ideas and creative problem solving. Input during brainstorming sessions is spontaneous with no restrictions and no censorship. So we don't come in with an agenda, with a list of things that we need to cover. We're just going in there for the one topic and we're just sharing ideas. So we're not putting any restrictions on the kind of input, and we are certainly not trying to prevent people from coming forward with their input and their brilliance. So everyone has a say in these brainstorming sessions. Members contribute from a space of freedom and creativity. The level of commitment by the members to implement change is often higher due to members playing their own role in the establishment of new systems and processes. It's one of the best ways to engage team members into new systems is to have them part of the creation of that new system. There are some important elements to the successful brainstorming group. Safety when contributing, no judgment, no criticism. Encouragement to participate. Everyone is given time and opportunity without interruptions. There is no hierarchy at brainstorming sessions, and everyone's input is treated equally valuable. Don't overtalk a topic. Once a solution has been determined, move swiftly to the next topic if you are talking about a couple of things in that brainstorming session. Remain focused on the topic as well. It's easy to get carried away with stories about everything else under the sun. So don't allow the conversation to trail to less important or irrelevant aspects of the issue. And establish effective brainstorming sessions. It's going to be a straightforward process for you if you use this little guide. If at first there is not a lot of contribution, certainly don't be disheartened. Safety and trust takes time to grow. So continue persevering with these brainstorming sessions, because as each one goes, people will feel safer and more willing to contribute. Start with setting aside a regular meeting date so your team can consider items to raise. So you can say, we're going to have a brainstorming session once every quarter, once every 3 months. The next one coming up is January. January, we're talking about how to create a better experience for our new patients coming through the front door or coming in or having their first dental experience with us. So that's what the topic is. Everyone, just have a casual think about that. Do some research if you like and bring some ideas to the table. Conduct the meeting in a relaxed and comfortable environment. For example, the waiting room, everyone has a coffee, get a bit of Danish there for people to have a nibble on. You're going to be there for a little while, hopefully. You can't have a good brainstorming session in half an hour. It's more something that you relax back and just allow it to evolve, maybe over an hour or two. Encourage staff to bring a pad and pen so they don't forget ideas while they are listening to others. It will prevent interrupting of others. So bring a pad and pen. When you think of something, write it down so you can continue being engaged in the person that's presenting at any given time. Appoint a facilitator. This person's job is to ensure that all topics are covered, that all members have the opportunity to speak, and that everyone remain focused on the topic and that we cover everything in a timely fashion. Also, it's important to appoint a scribe to write down all these wonderful new ideas and decisions that we're making so we can then delegate tasks, put due dates on those tasks, get these systems happening. So high energy and creative solutions are accessed and achieved through successful brainstorming. Staff feel valued when their opinions count. Therefore, brainstorming contributes to great teamwork and loyalty. So many benefits are generated from brainstorming. I strongly encourage you this week to set up a time for a good brainstorming session. And if you do, here are a few topic ideas. Improve the patient experience in the waiting room. Ideas on helping patients feel less anxious in the dental chair. Design of a patient pack for larger treatment plans. For example, what information brochures are going in? Are there payment plan details that we can put in there? Are there any links to helpful websites? What's going to make up the cover letter? How to encourage more patients to refer their friends and family? So that is the focus for this coming week. We've done our patient reactivation. We've done our daily focus. I can now click that today's due date is complete. Drag this live session over to our completed column. You'll all be receiving an email notification very soon with the recording of this session. But in the meantime, if you have any challenges in your practice, you'd like me to cover any specific topics, please let me know anytime by any means. It'll be a joy to move through those issues. Always keep in mind, if there are issues for you, they are likely to be issues for others as well. So we'll all improve together. Thank you so much for your time and attention, and I look forward to seeing you in a week's time. Have a beautiful evening, everybody. See you later.